Simcha Wasserman. Hagoin. Hagodol Rav Simcha Wasserman, Zechet Sadik Levracha, Zechus Yogin Aleinu. We have here, we're very fortunate to have here, one of the closest Talmidim, Mamashach, a Ben Mishpacha, from Rav Simcha Wasserman, Rav Kainer. And Rav Kainer is going to tell us some meisim, some meisim from Rav Simcha Wasserman, and it'll be a zechus for his neshama and a zechus for us. Put the songs nice and loud. Okay.
Mayor Appeldorf asked me to tell the story about.
It's not my fault. Don't go
ahead. About his kever. Yesterday, by the way, was the arts Rish Chodesh, and it was the yard site of Reb Shlomo Lawrence. And Reb Shmuel Blum related a story that he heard during the Shiva by the Lawrence Mishpacha, that Reb Shlomo Lawrence, when he was Nifter, he originally had a piece of karka on Har HaZeisim. And just before he was Nifter, he asked his children, I want to be buried in Har HaMenuchos near Reb Simcha Wasserman. Said Reb Simcha Wasserman, when he moved to Eretz Yisrael, he had opened up a yeshiva together with Reb Meir Chodesh Zichron Levracha called Yeshiva Or Elchanan. But he learned every day b'chavrusa with Reb Shlomo Lawrence. They learned together. At that time, Reb Shlomo Lawrence had retired from politics, and they learned b'chavrusa. In fact, in one of his, he had a book of biographies of Gedolim that he had shaychus with, having been very active in Aguda, and he writes about Reb Elchanan a lot, and at the end he has a small section about Reb Simcha that they had learned the Chavrusa. And he had told his children that he wants to be buried near Reb Simcha. He said Reb Simcha never had the schus of having children, so who knows how many people will go to his kever on his yard site. So he made his children promise whenever they go to his kever, they will also visit Reb Simcha's kever. As it turned out, he was nifter on Rish Chodesh Cheshvan. The following day is Reb Simcha's yahrzeit Beis Cheshvan, today. And since his children have the minig never to go to a Beis Olam on Rish Chodesh, so they happen to. They always go on Beis Cheshvan to be at both Kvarim. incidentally, also 10 days later, if Reb Simcha was nifter on Beis Cheshvan, the Rebbetzin was nifter on Yud Beis Cheshvan 10 days later. As it goes, when Reb Simcha was nifter, people told me that the Rebbetzin, the first few days, had a very hard time with it, and the people that came to the Bimenachem Oval saw that she had a problem with it. And she had told someone that she always wanted to be the first one to be Nifter rather than Reb Simcha. And like the second or third day of the Shiva, she told someone, you know, now I realize why he went first. Because had I gone first, there would be nobody to sit shiva for Reb Simcha. And that wouldn't be proper. So she was a changed person for the rest of the shiva. And as it happened, she got up from shiva. She spent the following Shabbos in the yeshiva with Reb Chodesh and his family and the Bnei Yeshiva. And she never got up on Sunday morning. So, but what's interesting also about them, when Reb Simcha first came to Los Angeles, he he had gone to L.A. Prior to L.A., Reb Simcha had started the Beis Yehuda school in Detroit.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, when he started it, it was the model school for Torah Mesorah. Whenever Torah Mesorah would try to start a new day school, they would send the mechanchim for the new day school to observe Beis Yehuda, see how it's done, and that was the model for the day schools in the United States. So Reb Simcha then in 1952 was sent from Torah Vadas to establish what was going to be a yeshiva. It was supposed to be something similar to Beis Medrash Elyon on the West Coast. And they had some of the elite Talmidim of the Beis Medrash in Torah Vadas were sent out there with Reb Simcha as the Rosh Hashiva, and the Rosh Chabura was Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky, Zozayn Gesund. And he had one of the leading rabbis, or at that time, the leading rabbi of L.A., had promised he would make sure that all the funds would be taken care of and everything. And the Talmidim from the yeshiva had made several conditions. At that time, Los Angeles was literally a desert. And they said that one of the things that they wanted, which incidentally was available in L.A., was Chol of Yisrael. And after a few weeks, this Rav comes to Reb Simcha and he said, Chol of Yisrael is very, very expensive. I'm going to have a problem with it. So Reb Simcha said, but, these were conditions. So this rabbi said, you know what? I'll take regular milk. I'll put it into the containers of the Chol of Yisrael. They'll never know the difference. To which Reb Simcha said, in that case, how could we trust your meat? So this Rav went back on his promise, and he said, I have nothing anymore to do with you. He got very upset. So Reb Simcha asked at that time, Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky, what should I do? And Reb Yaakov told him, you should stay. And as they say, he put his money where his mouth was. In 1952, he sent $100 to Reb Simcha to continue, which at that time was more than a month's salary for anybody. And, of course, he stayed. Now, while Reb Simcha was in L.A., the Rebbetzin was still in Detroit, and she would send him her paycheck. And that's what he lived on. He did not take any money from the yeshiva at all. And in fact, what I heard from Shmuel Kamenetsky was that not only didn't he take any money from the yeshiva, if he ate something in the yeshiva, he would pay the yeshiva for what he ate.
How many talmidim were there at the yeshiva?
There were about 15, 20 talmidim that had been sent. The only one that I know of the name was Rabbi Wolpin, Reb Nissen Wolpin, who was later the Reb Nissen Wolpin, who was the editor of the Jewish Observer later. But there was about close to 20 Talmidim at the time that came to L.A. And the Rebbetzin for a few years stayed in Detroit. After a while, it was very, very difficult. Reb Simcha mainly was busy raising funds, and he saw it was very hard, and he was ready to, as they say, throw in the towel. And the Rebbetzin answered him back and said, no, you can't. He said, they never had any children. And she said, now I realize why we never had children. She said, Torah has to be spread in America. Not everywhere can everybody go. A person with a family, can anybody, everyone go to open up a yeshiva? You are the person to do this here in Los Angeles. And about a year later, she left Detroit and went and joined him in L.A. And for many years, until just before they left, she was a... She taught in... It was called at that time Yeshiva Taras Emes. It's now called Yeshiva Rav Isaacson. Rav Isaacson was the... He was a brother of the... A brother-in-law of the last Satmar Rebbe, and they happened to be very, Reb Simcha and Reb Isaacson were very close. As a matter of fact, Reb Simcha would never take Siddur Kedushin as a kibud, and he would always tell everyone the kibud for Siddur Kedushin goes to Reb Isaacson because he is the Maradasra of Los Angeles. He went as far as to say, Rav Isaacson Taka goes dressed like a chassid, but he learns like a Litvak. Someone asked me about, you know, not too many people knew about Rav Simcha. What was he like? So I told someone that he was, first of all, he was very quiet. He never liked to draw attention to himself, which is just the way he was. But I knew for a fact, I was able to see, as far as his knowledge was amazing, and he once told me that I saw that he knew all the Rishonim. Mm-hmm. He said that he very often when he would say a shir, he would say over some Rishonim, and then, as they say, work them out. And several times I mentioned, you know, the Pnei Yeshua says this, or one of the other Achrayim. And he once told me that as a child he once came home and he knew that Rabbi Chanan liked Rabbi Akiva Eger. So he went and took out a sefer Rabbi Akiva Eger and started looking at it. He says, and his father passed by and he said, what are you doing? So he says, I'm looking at Rabbi Akiva Eger. And Rabbi Chanan would ask him, and all the Rashbas you know already? He says, another time he was looking at another one of the Achrayim, and he would ask him, and all the Ritvas do you know already? He says, basically, my father pushed me away from Achrayim. So Rishayim that I remember, he knew Rishayim the way it looked to me, the way we know Ashrei. Rishonim, very often he would give the shir, and he would have distribute the Rishonim, and occasionally he would be one short for himself. So I used to sit next to him, and he would pretend to look into my Rishon that I had, and just say the whole thing out by heart. So that was my experience with him almost all the time. And he was also, you could really say he was the father of the tshuva movement. An incident that happened while I was there, he had sent three bacharim, it was beginning of Bein Hazmanim, three bacharim, he told them go around to different cities, distribute pushkas. They went to quite a few cities, and one of the cities they stopped off was the town of Santa Barbara, California. Santa Barbara is a beach resort just north of L.A., about 120, 130 miles north of L.A. Anyway, they came to Santa Barbara, and they stopped in the by the local rabbi, who at that time was a reform rabbi. And they asked him, anybody we could distribute pushkas. He said, well, we have somebody here in Santa Barbara. He has an Orthodox background, but try him. They went knocking on the door. His name was Dr. Eisner. He later had a practice here on 13th between P and Kings Highway. This Dr. Eisner, they come to the house, and he wasn't home. His wife, who had just been in their backyard pool, came and answered the door. You have three yeshiva bachurim and a lady there in a bathing suit. So they managed to ask her, when is your husband coming home? And he said, about 7 o'clock. So sure enough, that evening, about 7:30, they came to the house. They gave the pushkas. They were schmoozing, wound up schmoozing for about 2-3 hours. And they left. Reb Simcha had a mahalach with pushkas. Every 6 to 8 months, he would send out, do you remember the old pushkas with the keys?
Yeah.
He would send out a key to the different people, and he would say, empty out the contents and send the check to the yeshiva. And this Dr. Eisner would always, he would do that, and a lot of times he would write a little note, a question or whatever, which Reb Simcha would answer, and that was it. About 3 years later, Reb Simcha calls me over and says, you remember when the Chever went with the pushkas? I said, yes. He said, well, this Dr. Eisner just called me. He's on his way from Santa Barbara. He'd like to come visit the yeshiva. So I said, fine, let him come. We'll see what he wants. So he came, he arrived just in time for Mincha, about 1:30. Davened Mincha with us, and he was there with his wife, his two older daughters, and, you know, we were talking. Simcha spoke with them, I met them also. By the time they left that evening, 7 o'clock, Reb Simcha had promised them that he would send one bacher to give a Sunday school class to the local kids, and he would come once a month to Santa Barbara to give an adult education class to the people. Sure enough, 2 weeks later, it was my roommate that went, and he had to take a second person with him because there was a large turnout for this. By the time the middle of the summer came around, Dr. Eisner calls up Reb Simcha. He says, after the adult education classes and all the classes, I can't go to the Reform Temple for Rosh Hashanah. Send me someone to lead the services and to lane on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. I'm going to make a minyan in my house with a mechitza and everything. Sure enough, two balabatim from L.A., Reb Simcha recruited them, and they went out to daven that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur in Santa Barbara. To make a long story short, about a few years later, a day school was started in Santa Barbara, and a young Israel was also started in Santa Barbara, all as a result of those pushkas. Wow. It's just one
Dr. Eisner presently lives in Telstow.
Oh, that, one second. Dr. Eisner, let me go back to Dr. Eisner. He is a family practice and geriatrics. He was one of the pioneers in the field of geriatrics. What happened was after that, Dr. Eisner's daughters moved. They went to high school. There was a high school, a Beis Yaakov in Denver, that they went to, and then they continued on to. They went to Prospect Park High School, and the one of the daughters got married. The second daughter was the first one to marry, and she married a yeshiva bacher, who has since written a sefer on. He had written a sefer with a very nice pirush on the Haggadah. And anyway, I had mentioned about the bathing suit. When this daughter got married, she requested that the three angels, as she called them, should come to the chasana. Now, two of them were living here in New York, and the third one lived, unfortunately, was nifter a couple of years ago, Herschel Berkowitz, the Colonel of Racha, lived in L.A. And he came in for the wedding with his wife, and the night before the wedding they came to visit the Eisners at home, and when they knocked on the door and she opened, Herschel said, "Where's the bathing suit?" But what happened was they had their practice, the practice over here on 13th, and then they moved to Eretz Yisrael. The daughter, the second daughter lives in Eretz Yisrael Taka with her husband. I think he runs a kollel there. The oldest daughter lives in Cleveland, and her husband's a doctor. But as a matter of fact, Reb Simcha himself, just before he was nifter, was here. He was nifter here in New York. He had been here on a trip from Eretz Yisrael and got sick, and then he was nifter here in Brookdale Hospital. And basically, at that time, Reb Simcha was in and out of the hospital, and when he was out of the hospital at that time, the Eisners had remade their living room into a hospital room so that Reb Simcha should be able to rest comfortably over there while he was there. But after that, they moved to Eretz Yisrael also. I guess that's about it for...
More. Tell us more stories. I'll tell one story while you think of more stories. There's one story I read in the book. This made a very big impression on me. Rav Simcha used to give a lot of shiur teaching, parenting, teaching parents how to raise children. So as you mentioned, he unfortunately did not have any children. So someone once had the chutzpah to say to Rav Simcha, "How can you give a class on parenting when you have no personal experience? You don't have children." So he said, "You're right, but I watched my parents raise me." Mm-hmm. So I feel that experience of being the child of someone who knew how to parent is qualifies me to teach as a very powerful aura.
He said a very interesting thing about his parents. He said his parents had a klal that they never, if you asked for something, you didn't get it. He said he knew his parents meant what was best for the child. And a child should know not to ask, not to request. A child should have enough confidence in the parents that they know what they're doing. He says he remembers one time his Reb Simcha was the oldest of Reb Elchanan's children. Says he had a brother, a younger brother, who liked honey very much. So one time the mother came into the house and she had a big jar of honey. So he knew he was, you know, he can't ask. He wanted a little honey. So he made a loud chahako. So his mother went over to the water and gave him a drink of water instead.
I should know that the yeshiva Bes Yehuda in Detroit is flourishing.
I know.
So they just built a brand new school for the girls, and they're rebuilding. Mm-hmm. They're rebuilding one for the boys.
Yeah. Like I said, it was, at that time, it was the model yeshiva for all the new yeshivas that were opening in America. He said, Reb Simcha said that when he came to Detroit, the
By
first...
By the way, it's not Detroit, it's Southfield.
Well, now it's Southfield, but he was there, it was
in Detroit
proper. He said when he came to Detroit, the first Shavuos, he and one of his Rebbeim were the only ones up for Shavuos at night. He says now the whole city is up.
The big koilel.
But his impact on me is, I've said it many times, not a day passes that I really don't think of him. He used to come to my house very often. As a matter of fact, the first few years, when he would come, after I was married, he used to stay in the house and he had the keys to my house. And quite often, I would get a call at work. My wife would say, the Rashiv is in town. She had come home from... My wife was principal in the Beis Yaakov of Flatbush for many years. She said, I came home from school and there he was in the kitchen. So...
I had a chavrusa who went out. He had a summer program. My chavrusa went out to LA 1 year.
Who's this?
Mordechai Shapiro.
Might have been... Where was this? In 66?
It must be... It could be around that.
No, the reason I'm saying what happened was I came to L.A. in Cheshvan of 66. They had a program, they made a special program that summer, a whole group of chevre that came from New York. They wanted to be mechazik. There was a whole group, a few of my friends, and my chavrusa from, I just finished high school at the time, and my chavrusa from high school said, who had been there for the summer, came and said, you gotta come with me. And me being adventurous and curious, hey, I'm going to go to L.A., why not? Mm-hmm. So I wound up going to L.A., and I was there for 5 years.
And Stephen Hill was there.
Stephen Hill, that was the year he became from.
Yeah. Is it 1966?
He used to come... Stephen Hill at that time lived back-to-back with one of the rabbis. Stephen Hill at that time lived back-to-back with one of the rabbeim in the yeshiva, Rabbi Yisrael Singer, Alva Shalom. And he used to eat by Yisrael Singer every Shabbos. And he was makarevim very much. And every once in a while he would come down to the yeshiva, to the dorm, and schmooze with us. Very nice guy. As a matter of fact, that was also the year that he went on with Mission Impossible.
Yeah. was already on.
It went on that year. It was the a new show. He was only on for 1 year.
2 years. Right?
2 years. What?
He was the original.
Yeah.
Mr. Phelps?
No.
No.
Before Phelps.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
He was the one that the tape would self-destruct.
No, he's 5 seconds.
The leader.
The five seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he was also the leader. Later on, he was on Law and Order.
Mm-hmm.
Prosecutor.
Right.
Non-romantic.
His son is a person that makes tapes for children. Rebbe Hill. That's one of his sons. Mm-hmm. No, that's the drummer is from his first wife.
Oh, that's who he is.
And he became from?
No, I don't know.
He's Jewish, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because the first one was Jewish, I think.
Shelly Lang, Savior.
Okay, you know, so you say Kaddish. You say, okay. Say Kaddish for Simcha. Amar Abba Chanan, Mekash Rez, Kajroch, Mazapin, Shoshu, Kaker, Mitz, Shnebra, Avrech, Mitz, Vasecho, Yagin, Tera, Vyadir.